football on off the ball.
You can flip it up and you can perceive how you want, but the truth is the truth, and I always try to be very truthful with players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. On the way, we catch up with Virgil van Dijk after Liverpool get the better of the Merseyside derby to move within 13 points of a 20th league title. The PGMOL have their say on James Tarkowski's challenge on Alexis McAllister, and Amber Barrett looks ahead to tomorrow's Nations League game away to Greece. But first, the PGMOL has conceded that James Tarkowski should have seen red last night. The Everton defender was shown a yellow card by referee Sam Barrett in the first half of last night's Merseyside derby for a challenge on Alexis McAllister. A VAR review at the time didn't upgrade that yellow card, and Tarkowski could be seen apologising to McAllister at full time. Various sources reported this morning that PGMOL have privately confided the tackle reached the threshold for serious foul play, and VAR Paul Tierney should have recommended an upgrade. The decision had little bearing on the result, with a second half goal from Diogo Jota giving Liverpool a 1-0 win to move them within 13 points of a record equaling 20th league title. After the game, OTB's Nathan Murphy spoke to Liverpool captain Virgil van Dijk.
Going through your head after you have those moments of defensive uncertainty?
That one moment. That one moment, yeah. Or the offside one, what do you want to mean?
The other one, yeah. Your one.
Well, listen, I think in football sometimes you can make mistakes. No one plays football without making mistakes. And unfortunately, I'm playing in a position, if I mishit the ball, what happens, then it could lead to a very, very big chance. And that's what happened. So that moment goes actually then in slow motion. But listen, whatever happened in during the game, there's still so much time to turn your defensive uncertainties around. And I think that's what we did. I think we didn't give much away today. That was, like I said, an offside goal and the one that I just have to clear. And what I said, it doesn't define the whole performance, in my opinion.
A lot of the focus has been on the three out-of-contract players, but Kevin Keller has said that he wants first-team football in the very near future. What would your advice be to him as somebody who has watched them step in so often this season to good effect?
Be a Premier League champion. And that's what the aim is for the rest of the season. And what happens after the season, we'll see then. But he has a big job in his hands now, whether he starts or has to make sure that Ali is ready. That's the main target. We all committed to the club, and we all have to fight in order to get our dreams, big dream, ready.
However, Everton boss David Moyes felt last night's only goal should have been disallowed for a potential offside from Luis Diaz in the build-up.
Yeah, I've asked it. Well, I've not sought an explanation, but I've said to him that I'm disappointed that, you know, I think it's quite an easy one to give as well, because all our players are sort of holding the 18-yard line, and Diaz comes from behind and affects Tarkey from behind clearing it. I'm really surprised it wasn't given. Or maybe I'm not surprised.
Daniel, you said maybe you weren't surprised you didn't get the offside call. Do you think the sort of referee was missing a few things didn't go your way tonight?
No, I didn't think that. I just thought that. I think that, you know, we hear a lot, but I don't think there's many managers come here and think that they get loads of decisions at Anfield, generally. That's me, that's my opinion. And this was one tonight which I think's quite easy. He's along the line, the linesman. It's really easy to give offside. Very, very easy. And they were quite... I wasn't quite sure how good the linesmen done their jobs tonight, generally. I think there was some early flags, some late flags. I didn't think they done particularly well at it.
This week on Diverted.
Do you cop saving? Do you do that, or...?
So when I return to Ireland, I will have €0.
This week, we're going to Chile.
¿Hace poco aprendiste a hablar español?
Well, mi español es muy malo.
Es como el inglés mío.
We're going to be visiting the Palestinian Football Club in Santiago.
Here in Chile, there's the biggest colony of Palestine outside Palestine and outside the Middle East, yes.
And we'll also be telling you about a legendary pair of brothers who made it all the way to the World Rugby Hall of Fame for Chile. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in and get diverted on Off the Ball.
The 2035 Women's World Cup looks like it'll be played close to home, although unlike the next men's Euros, the Republic of Ireland won't be co-hosts. FIFA President Gianni Infantino told UEFA Congress in Belgrade earlier on They've received one valid bid for the 2035 World Cup. The US were the sole bidder for the 2031 edition, while England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland will share duties 4 years later. No stadiums have been confirmed as part of the bid so far, but it's not believed that Caserne Park will return on the official proposal. Instead, Windsor Park will be sufficient for Northern Ireland's part of that World Cup. Infantino also said he wants to see the Women's World Cup expand from 32 teams to 48 for the 2031 competition. Meanwhile, Ireland are in Crete preparing for the first game of their Nations League doubleheader against Greece. If selected, Amber Barrett would win her 50th international cap tomorrow.
Yeah, I think honestly it would be something that I've had on my mind for the last, I think, couple of years as I've edged closer to it. Of course, I'd be immensely proud to have to do it, and it's definitely something that I hope happens. But again, like, I've been here a long time in the sense of that I've waited patiently. So I think that when I get it, I think I'll definitely have the feeling that it's something earned and deserved. So I hope that it will come on Friday, but we'll be prepared for whenever it comes.
After tumultuous times under Vera Powell and Eileen Gleeson, the Standard Liège striker has been sharing details of her relationship with new manager Carla Ward.
Yeah, look, I think that any player that doesn't play or doesn't play as much as they want is always going to have that little bit of frustration. But, you know, we're in a team sport and it's not just about one individual. And, you know, I think you have to have that element of you can't put your feelings before the team. The team always comes first. And I think when Carla's come in, I've just channeled that to be it's another opportunity for me to prove myself, and it's something that you have to work on for a long time. It's not just, you know, you turn up for a couple of trainings and then hope everything goes well. Like, it has to be a consistent and it has to be on a consistent basis. So it has been a refreshing start, but again, it's something I want to continue to build on, and again with that coming improved performances and results, of course. Yeah, so basically after the camp, Carla called every player individually and we just went through a debrief. She gave me her side of things, I give her my side of things, and it was very open. And I think that's what I will say about the beginning with Carla. It's been very open and direct, which is something that I love. And it's actually nice for a coach to actually ask you, like, what do you think went wrong? Because it's very easy to have different points of view, and I think it's good to see it from a different understanding, because obviously my understanding of what I saw is different to what Kira saw and is different to what Courtney saw. And I think you might be able then to fill in the little gaps that maybe were there because of that. And not primarily with the call was there video available, but afterwards Jackson, the video analyst, had clips up. So again, if you had any individual questions, it's all there for you. So again, there's no excuse to not use it. But also I think with that and having the access to the video, which again, like as I said from the beginning that I've come into now, how the video, even the programmes, like how the standard of analysts we've had over the years has massively improved, and what's available to us is great. But again, you have to then utilise what you have. Like, it's very easy to say we have all these great things, but do you use them to get better? Do you use them to analyse? And I think that, you know, my perspective of what happened is what I saw, but then, you know, if there's a question on it, you have the video there to support. You say, well, I felt like when I was getting the ball at this stage, I didn't know what to do, where to go. And then I can show and I can speak to Carla and say, look, Carla, this is where I felt like I didn't have an option, or I didn't have the support, or I could have done better here. It's all on video. So, and that's factual.
And Tottenham boss Ange Postecoglou will hope to end the club's dismal Premier League record against London rivals Chelsea tonight. They head to Stamford Bridge with just one win in their last 12 meetings. Spurs have performed below expectations so far this season. Postecoglou says winning tonight would be a welcome lift for everyone.
Yeah, as I said, they're a talented squad, a good manager. I still think they've had a positive season in terms of, you know, what they're trying to build. They've got some real talent, particularly in that attacking third. They obviously got hit by injuries as well. You know, they've got some key players who have been missing, which affects all clubs, and that affected their consistency results. But as you said, at their place, they're still a tough team to beat, so a good challenge for us.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.
Go. Gaffer sort of chucked a few of the boys under the bus in terms of who had to play against Man City away. And me and Matty Ritchie was asking for that tactical improvements for weeks or months or whatever. We come in at half time and I think it was like 2 or 3 nil or something down, and he's like, boys, like, you keep asking for tactics, I don't do tactics. Just put your boots on and work hard. That's
is that the legend with Dwight Gale, is it? Who missed the chance in the quarterfinal against Manchester City. Is that the same Dwight Gale? Okay. Interesting.
Saucer of milk, table two.
Been round the block a long, long time. I've only managed 1,050 games, but according to Dwight, I don't know what I'm doing. So I like other people make their mind up in a bit more established than what Dwight ever was.